Tell you what, this church is so, I mean, it's embarrassing how richly we are blessed with music. I tell you, I was just thinking over that. We are blessed with two quartets. I mean, you think about it, we got four of them singing, all right? And then we've got four people providing rhythm and music. You got Howard on the keyboard, Rick on the bass, Daryl back now, he's up front, but he's got, you know, and then what's that called?
Tambourine.
I knew it wasn't a trampoline, and I didn't want to embarrass you. It's not been a good week for me. I had to go to the eye doctor because I was worried about having guacamole in my eye. It's just, you know, sometimes you know what you mean to say, but then the words come out different. You know, it's confusing sometimes. Have you ever noticed how things can be confusing? I'm remembering, I forget what October it was, but there was an October, and Joe had heard that there was this pumpkin race, a 5K pumpkin race, which is like a little over 3 miles. And so Joe's thinking, this is great. They're probably going to have like pumpkin cookies, you know, at the little stations, you know, and they'll have pumpkin muffins and pumpkin lattes to drink. And then at the end of the race, there'll be a big, deep pumpkin pie with whipped cream and everything on it. You can imagine his disappointment when he showed up and discovered that the pumpkin race was that the runners had to carry a pumpkin while they were ready. And he said, who thought this was a good idea? This isn't fun. This is hard. He wasn't so happy after all that. It's not biblical either. You heard in the passage that Marjorie read, you heard, lay aside all the weights. Now, I understand that in a life of faith, we're not running around carrying a pumpkin, but I have known Christians who are in the race of faith, and they are carrying resentments. They are carrying fears. They are carrying anger. They are carrying all kinds of addictions and pains and self-righteousness and frustrations. And you can't carry that and also be pursuing a path of faith. In order to run the path of faith, in order to get to that finish line, you have to lay aside all of those other burdens, lay aside all of those other things that are weighing us down, and we cast them aside, and we give them to the Lord, and we give them to Jesus Christ. And that's what's happening. If you've read through the book of Hebrews, especially if you started at chapter 11, and I know we only got the last part today, but we had the earlier part last week. And if you've ever, any of y'all ever watched it, it's called TV. Yes. You all have?
Yes.
Really? Because I never know with this group, you know? So sometimes on some TV shows, it's like, you know, you watch it this week and then you watch it the following week, and it's kind of like a series, and they'll say, previously on West Wing, previously on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And what is that? It tells you, it gives you a little bit of recap of what's bringing you to the night episode that's happening now. And if you've read the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 11, that's what the preacher is doing. All right, yes, we all know that first verse. Norma and I, Anne and I, were talking about it right before church started. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But he doesn't stop there. Yes, that's inspiring. But then what does he do? He goes through a whole roll call of the Hall of Fame of faith. And he's just telling people, previously in the life of faith, this happened. Previously in the life of faith, Israel crossed the Red Sea. Previously on the face of faith, on the path of faith, there was Samson, there was Rahab, there were people, and if you read their stories, you find out these were not good people. Guess what? God doesn't call us to be perfect. God doesn't even call us to be good. Isn't that surprising? You would think this church would be packed. Oh, I want to go to that church. That church, their God doesn't call me to be good. You know what the God does call you? God calls you to be faithful. Because if we're faithful, well, we're going to end up being good. And when we mess up, we're going to end up remembering that we've been forgiven, and that God picks us up and brushes us off and says, let's try that again. And God will always give us another opportunity, which is why you should never pray for patience. I mean, seriously, how many more times? No, you don't want that one. You say, no, God, you know. It goes differently for each of us. But as we're going through the Bible, and as this person is going through the Bible, and by the time he gets to verse 29, which is where Marjorie started us at, all right, he has hit the crescendo. By now, they've had 29 verses of hearing about the heroes, being reminded about what's part of the life of faith, being reminded that to be a Christian, to be a disciple, is about understanding that we are strong. That we are not alone. What does it say, chapter 12? It says, surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Evil wins by making us think we're all alone. And these people were going through some really hard times, difficult times. Families had been splintered. They were under persecution. They were under trials. They were going through all kinds of troubles. And they were beginning to become discouraged. They were beginning to think this is too hard. They were beginning to think, I can't do this. And so the writer of Hebrews writes these people to remind them, look, you are surrounded. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. You are part of a group of faithful people who trust in the promises of God, who don't trust in their own skills, don't trust in their own grace, trust in God's grace. Surrounded by people who believe in us. Each and every one of you here know what that's like. There have been times in your life when you were down. You know what I'm talking about. Down. I'm talking about depressed. You were filled with despair. Dark times. You couldn't stand up. You couldn't sit up. You couldn't hold your head up. You couldn't even lift your eyes up. And guess what? You were blessed because there was somebody who got on their knees and lifted you up in prayer. Lifted you up before the throne of God, given to us in Jesus Christ, who refused to give up on you because God doesn't give up on you. And he continues, he says, get in prayer. And some of you have known what that's like. Some of you know what that's like. You know how to be on the receiving end, and you know how to be on the giving end. There have been times for any faithful Christian when unbeknownst to us, we don't know what's going on, all of a sudden the name, all of a sudden the face, somebody comes before us and we feel it in our heart. God says, pray for them. Pray. Now you don't know what the challenge is, you don't know what the obstacle is, and you don't need to know. All you need to know is that you have an opportunity to pray for them. And in that prayer, you give strength. In that prayer, you give encouragement. In that prayer, you give hope. No one quits on a race when they can see the finish line. They quit on a race when they can't see hope, when they can't see the end, when they think the problems and challenges are always going to be in front of them, that they're never going to be able to overcome what they're dealing with. That's when they're tempted to quit, when they think they're alone. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding people, you're not alone. And he's writing to people who know their Bible, who know the story of faith, who understand that the people being listed were not always good people, but they were faithful people, and God was able to turn them around and use them and help deliver others. It's not always just about us. Sometimes we're the instrument of that grace. We allow the power of God to work through us, and amazing things can happen. We'd be surprised at what can happen when we allow God to work in our lives, no matter what seems to be going on in the circumstances around us. We don't let the circumstances define us. And if you read the Bible, and if you're familiar, even with people in our own lives, you look at the people around us, you look at the elders and the deacons and the teachers and the choir and all the other people, the people who do the cross pantry, all of these different people, every single one of them said, man, I could never be that faithful. Man, I don't know how they can always be so joyful. Man, I don't understand why they are always so good or always in a good mood. And the chances are, if you knew what was really going on in their life, you would discover it's not always so good. Mm-hmm. They're carrying pain. They're carrying heartache. They're carrying hopelessness. They're carrying despair. They're carrying challenges. They're facing all kinds of economic hardships, financial hardships, relationship hardships. Families are falling apart. They're facing all of that, but they're not letting those circumstances define who they are. Yes, I'm going through that, but that's not who I am. I know God's got me, and I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in the promises of God, and I know that God is going to lead me through this. All I have to do is continue to follow God's path. follow God's leading. I don't stop. You know, the old song, when you're going through hell, don't stop. That makes no sense. Why would you stop there? You want to keep going. You move on. You follow God. You follow that path. You keep going on because people are encouraging you. 1968. You all remember that year, don't you? Oh, wait, no. You guys weren't even born in 1968. But in 1968, in the summertime, in Mexico City, there was the Olympics. There was the Olympics in Mexico City in 1968. And there was a man, let me get his name right here, John Stephen Akwari. And he was from Tanzania. And he was sent from his country, and he's representing Tanzania in the men's marathon. That's a 26.2 mile race. In Mexico City, which is like, I don't know, 3,000 miles high in the air or something like that, high altitude and all of that. And so he enters into the race. He's so proud to represent his country, and the race starts. Now, he's not one of the favorites, all right? Kip Kanoa, who ended up winning, he's a favorite. John Stephen Akwai, he's not a favorite. But his chances plummeted because of the altitude. As he's trying to run the race, all of a sudden, he started cramping up. Have you ever tried to run with a cramp? Have you ever tried to walk with a cramp? And he's cramping up. And some of the other runners started cramping up, and they all got bunched up. And then as they're all bunched up and they're jockeying for position, all right, somebody fell and somebody else fell, and it's a whole domino thing fell. And John Stephen fell. Akwai fell. And his shoulder smashed against the road, okay? His knee got all cut up and became dislocated. You could see it was dislocated. And everybody's thinking, the commentators and the crowd and everybody's thinking, well, that's it. He's going to have to go to the hospital. He needs to be treated. But he refused. He refused. He continued on with the race. Dislocated knee, cut up knee, shoulders all messed up, and he continued on at a much slower pace. Now he had no chance for any medal. He wasn't going to get a gold medal, not a silver medal, not a bronze, not even a tin medal. He had no chance for any type of medal at all. He stayed with the race, stayed with the race. He gets ready to come into the stadium. They've already given the awards out. The people who got the medals already got the medals. They're at home watching on TV. That's how far behind he is. He's over an hour behind when the first people came through. And did you know, when he entered the stadium, thousands of people cheered him on. Thousands of people said the sun had long gone down. It was been a long, hot day. It's Mexico in the summertime. It's hot. All right? And they had stayed. They had heard. There's still a runner out there. There's still a runner. And he enters the stadium. Boom! Can you imagine? And then at the end, you know, the TV people, he gives the world's one of the best sports quotes ever. He said, why did you keep running? Why did you keep going? Why didn't almost 25% of the runners had already dropped out of the race? Why did you keep going? And the answer he gave, my country did not send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. Jesus Christ did not live and die and was resurrected for us to start discipleship, but to be staying faithful to that life, staying faithful to God, continuing to trust in God, to not give up, not give in, don't quit. The secret, the title of the sermon, the secret to finishing is not quitting. Jesus never says you can't fall. What he says is, when you fall, I'll be there to help pick you up. Jesus never says don't get lost. What he says is, when you're lost, I'll find you and put you back on the path. Jesus says, never, ever give up. Don't quit trusting in me. I will always be there for you. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that we are not alone. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, surrounded by disciples, surrounded by pilgrims of faith. And sometimes, like I said, we're on the receiving end and other people are praying for us. And sometimes we're on the giving end and we're able to give encouragement, give support, give some hope. Because what we are, we may be tired, we may be worn out, we may be weak, we may be wrong, we may be a lot of things, but one thing we are never, we are not alone. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, surrounded by faithful disciples, and surrounded by the grace of God. We continue with the race. We continue with this walk because we know that we're going to get to that finish line. And we know what awaits us at that finish. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The marks of a true disciple. The marks of you. Amen.
Amen.